because of the problem of the tailings bridge going over the river, and that tailings bridge problem, that it was underdesigned and therefore had to be repaired and had to be re-engineered and put into production again. But at that time, we were only producing about 60 to 70% of the fresh tailings from El Teniente, and so El Teniente, during the repair time, had to deposit these tailings at a place where we now work the old tailings. So we right now have not the high grades which have been deposited in, you know, in the past 20 years, but we are working to quite an extent on tailings which were for a force majeure situation deposited, where normally the higher grade old tailings are.
So right now you're working through new old tailings, so to speak.
New old tailings, that's a good word, yes.
Okay. And my last question was, and I apologize if you've answered this already, you were mentioning that the generators could, at current bunker fuel prices, could supply energy at 10 to 11 cents a kilowatt hour. And could you tell me what is the cost from the grid currently, just for comparison's sake?
Well, you know, it changes from basically from day to day and from month to month. So,
or just on average.
I haven't got the figure what the October costs will be.
For example, in the month of September, it averaged 18 cents a kilowatt hour.
Okay. And is there any way you can translate that into production cost? I mean, how can you give me an idea of, you know, what is 18 cents? What part of your cash costs does that 18 cents per kilowatt hour translate into on a per pound produced basis?
Between the energy cost and the steel cost, you know, that covers about 80% of our cost.
With energy and steel being 50 and 50?
No, energy being higher, much higher.
Okay. Like 70, 30?
Well, you can probably work that out in the numbers, because the energy costs are disclosed separately in our quarterly report. But the bottom line is, on a normalized basis, energy is about 40% of costs.
Okay.
At current prices, it's much higher.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question is from Ryan Vanderman of Dallas. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. It sounds like there's a lot of questions surrounding these generators, and you guys have historically been very good capital allocators, so I can't imagine this project being any different. But I guess to ask the question another way, if you look maybe backward-looking in the last year or trailing 12 months, assuming historical bunker seed prices and assuming whatever cost energy came from the grid, can you kind of estimate what your net cost savings would have been, and then maybe looking forward if there's kind of what the cost per kilowatt hour, I don't know if there's a strip or something for bunker seed prices, but kind of what it might look like on the next 12 months basis?
No, that's a complicated question, and it depends on so many inputs and what have you, and if you're depending on how far you go back, kilowatt per hour costs have fluctuated significantly. I think the easiest way to answer what I think is your question is, as we said, depending on, in bunker fuel prices over the last month or two, we will generate costs or generate energy at around 10 to 11 cents a kilowatt hour. In September, it averaged much higher than that. In February of this year, it was significant. It was lower than 10 or 11 cents, or perhaps just a little bit lower than 10 or 11 cents. So it depends, and it's a formula which the national grid bases its charges to industrial users throughout Chile, and it fluctuates. And so we've taken advice as to what that long-term cost might be. We've factored in our own estimation of delays in commissioning of new supply, and concluded that this is a good allocation of capital. And to the extent, as I said earlier, to the extent that we don't use it, that would be a bonus. In which case, we would there is a strong market for these items of equipment.
Wonderful.
I may just add, I think perhaps that hasn't come through quite clear yet. We are not only concerned about the costs, which we are, of course, but also the availability. I think everybody has to understand Chile depended 30% of their electricity production depended on Argentinian gas. There is no Argentinian gas available anymore. And the situation in Argentina with the gas will get even worse. The Argentinians themselves will not have enough gas. So we made that decision not only to save costs, which we will, but also to have electricity available when it may not be available from the grid. There were high risks last year already that there would be blackouts in Santiago, and as you know, Santiago is not far from where we are. So we just wanted to make sure, and that's, as Stephen said, we made that decision very fast to make sure that we are not losing production because we don't have electricity.
I think the other point to make is that Codelco themselves have made a decision to become energy self-sufficient, independent of the national grid, which is an interesting decision also. So there's the biggest of the big making a similar decision. I think the other point that shouldn't be lost on listeners here is that Chile is by far and away the largest copper-producing country in the world. Amerigo and NBC are only relatively small producers in the context of that global market, and certainly in the context of Chilean producers. We are not the only copper producer in Chile, by any stretch of the imagination, dealing with higher power costs. Listeners should make their own conclusions as to what that may mean for copper production globally and from Chile going forward, and what those high costs might mean for copper supply.
That's interesting, and thank you very much for that information. The other question I had was surrounding the Codelco strike. Can you just give a little bit more, I guess, granularity or clarity as to kind of what it really meant for you guys' operations and, I don't know, maybe day stopped or whatever metrics you guys used to kind of look at that?
Well, the strike was going on during the whole month of July, and we lost at least half a month's production from that. I mean, not by being completely closed down, but just getting less material than what we normally get.
By the way, the labor strikes in Chile are not unusual. And just to put it in context, a significant proportion of the labor force of Teniente is provided by subcontractors. And this is a policy of Teniente's, of Codelco's, I think I should say, and the workers that who strike were employees of subcontractors who were seeking benefits similar to benefits that would be ordinarily only offered to employees, you know, like, you know, sick leave and long service leave and pensions and medical insurance and stuff.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you all very much. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Mr. David Shakiro. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Sorry, I got cut out earlier, so I may be re-asking one or two things, but starting with the power costs, when you guys say you'll be at a full, you'll be self-sufficient with the power, what type of tailings are we assuming on the self-sufficiency? Up to what tailings production, let me put it another way, does that self-sufficiency last, the two generators?
That's based on the fresh production.
I'm sorry, that's based on what?
That's on the production from fresh tailings.
Just on fresh tailings, so that doesn't, that's only about 120,000 tons, that doesn't include anything, that doesn't include the extra 45,000 potentially?
Well, look, I think if you look at the situation, I guess your question now is, well, how much can you produce? That's really the question. How much can you produce if you don't get any power from outside with your own power generation?
That's exactly it.
Right. And if you ask that question, you don't necessarily have to say where the tailings are coming from. You just ask the question, how much can you produce? And we know we can produce in the range of 15,000 to 18,000 tons of copper per annum with these two generators.
Okay. So,
but they are not enough to go to 25,000 or 30,000 tons, which, of course, is our goal. But by that time, we think the energy situation has perhaps not completely normalized, but has eased off. Because as Stephen was saying, projects are coming on stream over the next 2, 3, 4 years. So everybody, the experts are saying the worst situation may be coming next year. And we wanted to be prepared for that. Thereafter, things should get better in Chile because of their own projects. So if the ultimate Armageddon situation comes, no power, and we have our own power generation, we can at least maintain the 15,000 to 18,000 tons of copper production.
And by the way, it depends, of course, on whether Teniente is still able to be producing. So it's not just an independent question. Now, if they stopped 100%, then our production is going to be similarly impacted. Now that means that then we may be just looking at recovering old tailings. Similarly, if we are curtailed a little bit, then the blend of old versus fresh tailings might change as well. That if we don't have any power, but we still are getting fresh tailings, then maybe we divert some of the fresh tailings and take a greater proportion of the total is old tailings. The point you have to appreciate is, and one of the challenges is this is a simple operation, but the flexibility and the permutations of how we operate are high. And this is where sometimes, you know, we trip over ourselves in our efforts to give full disclosure to investors. We give sometimes investors with business degrees the right to get involved in matters of metallurgical nature. And then we get into all sorts of complications, and then people get confused and what have you. So
I think you're clarifying some of these things on this call. My next question, I guess, is this new 10 to 15,000 from the old tailings piles, is this the new run rate, barring some sort of problems, unforeseen problems or environmental issues or anything, is this the new run rate going forward with the old tailings?
All things being equal, yes. And as we said in the earlier part of the call, it's our plan to work with Teniente to step that up in accordance with our contractual arrangement.
Okay. Is there any thought that management has to doing some forward sales of copper at this point? Now you even have a new stream here coming on. I understand that your production is variable and can't be perfectly produced, but certainly there's some minimal level that management could feel comfortable with hedging out at, you know, high copper prices. Is there any thought behind that?
We've been in this business for 25 odd years. Clark and I have been in this business together, I think, for over 50 years. But the short answer is that it's our policy, the company's policy, that we do not hedge. We are always reconsidering that, but at this point in time, we are not hedgers. A number of times when we've reconsidered it over the last 2 or 3 years, history has shown us that we would have been horribly wrong by hedging over that last 2 or 3 year period. We don't have, and the other point I think it's fair to make is that we have no debt. We have strong cash balances, and our policy is to pass through the benefits and otherwise of movements in copper prices to our shareholders.
Thank you. Once again, please do not hesitate to press star 1 if you have a question. The next question is from Mr. Ken Hefner of Lakeland. Please go ahead.
Okay, I have a couple of questions. One, I look upon wind energy as being a viable source for the world in the future and a great demand of copper. Whether or not there is a environment there in Chile for your smelters or, you know, to have wind energy somewhere nearby. And the second is, how is the overhauling of the old mills doing?
There are projects in Chile with wind energy. Of course, it was not something which would have been of any benefit for us, because we are concerned with the short-term problems which we have to solve, and therefore we decided to get with to go with used generators, which we can buy immediately and get installed at the right time. So, but there are projects which use wind energy in Chile. They are not yet, but I could imagine that will continue to increase. The second question with respect to the refurbishing of our old mills, we have 3 mills refurbished, and we are now working on the fourth last old mill to be refurbished. That should be done by next year sometime.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Mr. Alan Arnold of New Orleans. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Private investor and shareholder in this in your company. Unfortunately, until recently, when I saw on your webpage the report from Raymond James dealing with in sort of a clouded environment, was just by word of mouth. I'd say it's a reasonably easy company to understand, but it still helps to have more detail. I would suggest to you, for people like myself, when you go to your web page, I would strongly consider that you change the last sentence of the opening paragraph where you say annualized production is projected to increase to 60 million pounds of copper and 1 million pounds of moly by the end of 2007. We're 3 months away and you've got all these questions. I think you ought to reconsider, and you ought to consider changing that statement in some form so that you can get some feeling for where you think you're going on production. That's a comment and also a question, because I'm still trying to figure out where the production can go over the next 24 months. Other question I have is that it's really been asked over and over and over again about the power. I guess when I read it, I read self-sufficiency, so I assumed that you were going to go 100%, but it sounds like these are going to be peaking units based upon the changes in the price in the grid. And I'm sure when you made the decision, which was obviously the right thing to do if you have potential blackouts, but that's a catastrophe, that you must have done some analysis, at least in the last quarter, of what would be your, what the expenses would be for power in relation to what they actually were had these plants been online. I'm sure that must be somewhere in your calculations, and I guess someone would try to make that calculation who's got all the information available. But it would be helpful, because in some of the press releases they talk so much about the earnings being down because of the cost of power. And now that I've listened, I understand the cost of power is up based upon the grid price, but you also had production higher than other times. But on a relative basis, if you were already in possession of the generators and they were operating based upon the available fuel source, there must be some reduction in power costs in the last quarter had they be available. I'd like to know that, if that can be publicly put out or whatever. I understand the difficulties you have in these kinds of questions, but it helps to try to understand what you're doing. And I appreciate from your answers, you're obviously doing the right thing. And I'll leave it with that.
Thank you for your comment on the website. We'll note that and we'll make some changes. Secondly, I'd like to point out that everywhere in the document that you would have read, we talk about substantially energy self-sufficient, not totally, and that's important for the point that we explained earlier.
I agree. I reread it, and I totally agree. I think when I read it somewhere else, when you say it sounded like you were trying to go to the point, which that question has already been asked, what can 20 megawatts support?
Yeah.
And obviously you can't support more than present production, and if you want to do twice that, you have to be connected to the grid or do a lot more investment for
yeah, the Yeah, and then it's a question of additional marginal power, over and above the 10 or 11 cents that we think will generate that,
right,
depending on what the price is. But we made a decision to invest in sufficient generating power that will keep us going on a historical basis of energy to date. To the extent that there's more power required as we expand, we are comfortable that we'll be able to draw some power, other than during blackout periods, from the grid, and still be significantly in front of where we would have otherwise been. I think I'd love that investors to be focusing on the fairly simple economics. As we said in our press release, the increase in power costs between September 2006 Q3 and Q3 2007 is $6.3 million. The whole project for power generation, as I said earlier, is approximately $9 million.
Capital costs, right.
Capital costs. So
then the operating costs, if your capital cost was already in and capitalized, your operating costs would change, and that's what everyone's trying to figure out. Had you done that 2 quarters ago, what would have affected your net cost of power in that quarter?
Well, as I just said to you, the same quarter last year compared to this last quarter, the power costs had increased by $6.3 million. Increased by $6.3 million. So,
right.
So we would have saved $6.3 million had we had
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't draw that inference. Because I didn't know. I wasn't comparing the two production levels. I thought they could be different. I haven't had a chance to dig into it to that point. But you're now saying that you think had you made this investment prior to this quarter, and you drew 100% of power from these 20, from this 20 megawatts, you could have reduced your power cost by $6.8 million.
No, all I'm saying is that that's the quantum of increase in power cost between the same quarter this year versus last year. There are significant other variables like oil price assumptions, weather, etc., etc. But all I'm trying to demonstrate to you is that yes, we have done the economics. We are not going to disclose to you the intimate details of the board's deliberations. Suffice to say that the attraction to this investment is significant, and as the president pointed out earlier, the cost of not having any backup power supply in the event of a blackout is a significantly greater number.
Oh, I think that's obvious. You've answered that more than you need to. I totally agree with you. I'm just trying to do what others are trying to do with doing just little number calculations. You couldn't not do this with since you had the cash on hand. If you hadn't done this, you would be derelict in duty, and I applaud you for doing this. So I'm sorry if I'm boring you with the question.
No, not at all. Thank you for your question.
Okay.
Thank you. Once again, please do not hesitate to press star 1 if you have a question. The next question is from Mr. Mark Thomas of Mulcahy. Please go ahead.
Not a question. I just wanted to clarify. I think you mentioned an example of 18 cents in a recent month, and you mentioned an example that based on today's oil prices, 11 cents had we had the backup power. I think if anybody does the math in any given month, we may have saved 30%. That's all the comment I wanted to make.
Great. Thank you for that.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn the meeting back over to Mr. Dean.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your interest and your time on the call. We do appreciate it, particularly the private investors. We very much are happy to have private investors on our register. They are part of our shareholder base. Hopefully, the dividend is something that that those private investors enjoy. And as I said, we have done our best in trying circumstances over the last 12 months, most of which are out of our control, to maintain our financial performance. And we hope to be able to do that going forward. Thank you for all of your questions, and we look forward to talking again in about 3 months' time.
Thank you. The conference is now over. Please disconnect your lines at this time. We thank you for your participation, and have a great day.